The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is May 6, 2016. It is a Friday afternoon. Of course, I'm broadcasting from the state of North Carolina, which has been keeping itself in the headlines. Y'all just don't know the half of what these conservatives, so-called conservatives, Republicans, whatever you want to call them, since they took over the state political system. And when did they do that? In 2010, after the election of President Obama, you know, these white folks around here fed into the fear and all of that. And, you know, so they wanted to send a message, and they elected all Republicans, and they have the governorship, they have the state Senate, they had a state house. And I mean, they just been going to town practicing racism, practicing discrimination, bigotry, and what have you. So it's just, you know, y'all don't know the half of, you know, that bill, HB2. Y'all don't know the half about that bill. It has more to do than with transgender males using the female bathroom. It has more to do. It also has other provisions in it that makes it more difficult for black people to prove racism against an employer. It from what I've read, I'm trying to get a hold of the actual text of the legislation or the bill, but it makes it more difficult for people to prove racism, age discrimination, and even sexism against their employer. This was already a what they call a right to work state, where the employer can fire you without even giving a reason, you know. I tell you, man, they just really been doing everything they can to just bring back so-called Jim Crow, you know. So that's what it's like here in North Carolina. Thankfully, I'm in a safe zone where I'm not really bothered by these people, but it's not like that for millions of other people here in this state. So welcome to the broadcast again. As I stated, I'm broadcasting from behind enemy lines, deep in the South, surrounded by racist haters, Confederate flaggers, and what have you, right here in deep South. All right, so let me get into what we will be discussing during the next hour of today's program. By the way, this will be an hour of news, information, and social political commentary. If you want to chime in, please don't hesitate. An hour is not that long. I can always make provisions to go over, but I'm trying to get the news out, be more proficient, and then turn my attention to other work. But the telephone number, the conference line, is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment on air. You can also use the web-based flash phone to call from anywhere in the world as long as you have internet connection. If you're on a mobile, you can get the app for, I believe this is, let me tell you, this is the free conference call HD. Use that app and make free phone calls. Take advantage of free. Ain't nothing wrong with it, you know, because we pay in so many other ways. All right, so moving on. Today's top story, I want to talk about a story I reported on early 2015, almost just over a year ago, when Eric Harris, a black male, was killed by a reserve deputy, Robert Bates, who at that time I dubbed the urban safari hunter. This was a rich white man who donated a lot of money to the reelection of the sheriff, and he got favorable treatment. Pay to play. People talk about pay to play. He was paying to go on safari in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's what he was doing. He was hunting down new slaves for the new plantation. And he wasn't, again, an actual deputy. He wasn't drawing a paycheck or anything like that. He was a volunteer slave catcher that they call reserve deputies. And I dubbed him the urban safari hunter. And, the police were conducting a sting where they were trying to catch up people in selling illegal guns and what have you. And Eric Harris was arrested by them. He was pinned on the ground. It was all captured on video, by the way. Vest cam, whatever they call that, body cams and whatnot. And they had him on the ground. He wasn't resisting, had him in handcuffs. And here come Mr. Bates running up, claims that he pulled out his taser, thought he was pulling out his taser, put out a gun and shot Mr. Harris and claimed it was an accident. Now, I don't know. I haven't seen pictures of his taser. I have also not seen pictures of his gun. To me, you would know the weight and the feel of each and one of them. But obviously, he shouldn't have been out there in the first place. But when you donate lots of money to political campaigns, you get favors. And the favor that he got was he got to go on urban safari. When I was reading back, when this story first broke, I think this man actually had been on safari trips to Africa. But he was like, man, why I got to go through customs and go through, you know, all of this, and I can hunt actual human beings? You know, it just reminds me of what those NYPD officers were saying in that special on that New York news station. And we played the clip on New Abolitionist Radio this past Wednesday, where they were saying that they were the hunters, the cops were the hunters. These were actual police officers who were speaking out against the NYPD quota system, and they said that one of them said that we're the hunters and they're the prey. He said we're the predators and they're the prey. So Robert Bates, for a time, got to act like a predator, end up taking the life of unarmed Eric Harris on April the 2nd, 2015. He has since been convicted almost over a year later, and he was in court yesterday, so we want to talk about that. Some interesting things also happened after the court hearing was over, where he was denied bail, and now he awaits sentencing. So we want to talk about that story. Yesterday, I talked about Hillary Clinton. I'm going to talk about Hillary Clinton a lot. If you don't like me talking about Hillary Clinton, then, you know, find another program to listen to. But this woman, I know her history. I have studied her and her husband's ascent from poor white trash. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call Hillary poor white trash. She came from a affluent white family in Chicago during segregation and whatnot. But Bill Clinton has been described as, you know, coming up as a poor white boy from Arkansas and what have you. So I've been paying attention to these people for over 10 years, actually going back to when I was in the military and he was elected president, because they were cutting the troops big time back then and forcing, senior enlisted men, as well as, well, I don't know if it affected the officers, but forcing, like, you know, people had been in like 15 years, 18 years, forcing them to take early retirement. So I've been following these people a long time. I think that they are a clear and present danger, not only to black people, but to people all over the planet. And so, you know, all I can do is do my job as a member of the media and inform people about her, because, you know, it's just sad that a person who has all of this history, all of this scandal, and face, and right now going through a criminal investigation, and is running for president. Man, if that was one of us, if we were being investigated, let's say we were being investigated for breaking and entry, you know, broken somebody's house, stole some property. And so we're being investigated and whatnot. And if a potential employer got wind of that investigation, do you think they would hire us for a job? No, they would not. They'd be waiting to the outcome. But people want to make this woman the top CEO in the world of USA Inc., the USA Inc. Corporation, one of the most powerful positions in the world. And this is who, you know, you look at her resume, and this is who you want to, you know, get that job to. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So I'm going to do my job. But like I was talking about yesterday, this email, as much as they want to wish it away, as much as the surrogates and you know, former CIA agents like CNN, what's that white guy name? The Irish, real pale white guy. I can't recall his name. Anderson Cooper is his name. I got a clip I'm going to play later. And I've been checking this guy out for quite some time. And just the subtle inflections in his voice and how he solicits the response he's looking for from his guests. He's basically feeding them leading questions, and you can really tell an inflection of his voice. And he has been one of those members of corporate media who have been doing everything they can to minimize the seriousness of what Hillary Clinton is facing in the minds of voters and what have you, not being an objective journalist whatsoever. So anyway, yesterday I was talking about this isn't going away. All right. And this is very serious. Again, with my background in the military, having a top secret security clearance, having access to intelligence, you know, from secret to, you know, top secret, you know, and knowing a little something about this, been through those classes and what have you. And to know if I had done something like this, then, you know, I would be in the brig. That's where I would be. I would be in the brig waiting for court martial if I was still in the military. So this is heating up. The FBI investigators have interrogated Huma Abedin, and I'm probably, you know, pronouncing her Muslim name incorrect or Arab name incorrectly, but that's one of her top aides, been with her for a very long time. And this woman had like several jobs that should present a conflict of interest. She had like four different jobs while working at the U.S. State Department for Clinton, working for Hillary Clinton personally, was also on the payroll of the Clinton Foundation, and also working for a lobbyist group tied to a close Bill Clinton confidant, Don, from his, you know, going back, you know, years, decades, and what have you. And so, you know, that all ties in to, you know, these huge donations from various countries to the Clinton Foundation. And then, you know, the State Department is approving weapon sales and other contracts to these countries. So this is very serious. Clinton is next. She is going to be next. You know, we can't always trust what the mainstream media says, especially when they're giving us a bunch of unnamed sources. But they're saying it's only a matter of weeks before they interrogate Hillary Clinton in their criminal probe of her email practices and handling of U.S. official sensitive documents. So definitely want to, you know, look at that some more. Also, Martin Luther King Jr., Next week will be the anniversary of the Poor People's March, which was at Lafayette Park and Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. in June 1968. I was about, what, a little over 1 year old at the time. He, of course, was assassinated before he could take part in leading the march. He was assassinated. The last march he had was the March Against Fear, where he collaborated with some of the student groups like SNCC, later would become members of the Black Panther Party, also the Deacons for Defense, if I'm not mistaken, to provide security in Tennessee. And when the man who was marching by himself on the road for going to march to the Capitol or walk to the Capitol, really, and, you know, as a demonstration for voting rights for Black people, and he was shot. And so Dr. King said, I'm going to finish the march for him. And, you know, Stokely Carmichael was out there, as well as, you know, other revolutionaries with him. And they convinced him to allow the Deacons for Defense to provide security, you know, instead of letting Dr. King go out there after they done shot one man and think they won't shoot him. And that was the last march, because, of course, they killed him later. And, of course, we all know now from the civil lawsuit that the United States government played a role in that assassination of Dr. King. So I do want to focus a little bit on that issue of poor people, income inequality. It is an issue that has been raised in the current presidential campaign. And so it's just a shame in my mind when I hear Black people talking about Bernie Sanders, who marched with Dr. King at one time, went to jail, demonstrating against racism and white supremacy while Hillary Clinton was living in her all-white world. But it's a shame that when he talks about things like education, free public college tuition, and I hear Black people talk about, well, how are you going to pay for it? You know, parroting the Clinton campaign, all right? And, you know, that education, we know, speaks to the ability of one to earn higher incomes and what have you. And we know the less a person is educated, the more likely they will be in poverty. So it just seems to me many of these so-called educated Black folks, Steve Coakley will refer to them as the Black bourgeoisie. It seems like, you know, they praised Dr. King, and, you know, they probably went to the unveiling of his statue on the Washington Mall, but they've abandoned his dream. His dream wasn't integration. That wasn't just simply his green. That wasn't really what he was pushing for. But he saw that, it, you know, the fact that we're paying taxes as Black people, and these businesses are benefiting from the infrastructure that we're paying for. And then, you know, for them to treat us like we're not human and treat us with such indignities and whatnot, that, you know, we're not going to do that. But he also, his dream was, is that people didn't live in poverty, and people had equal opportunity, and people had decent housing and all of that. But yet the bourgeoisie, the Black bourgeoisie, following behind Hillary Clinton, now they want to insult people who want public college tuition paid for. Sorry about that. Had a little disruption. But we have abandoned his dream, or they have abandoned his dream. You know, when they think of Dr. King, do they think of Dr. King and saying, oh, he just wants free stuff? Well, we pay for that and more. We pay for that and more. Okay. A lot of these public colleges and universities have sports teams that are getting a piece of that pie from the NCAA, which is masquerading as an amateur league and bringing in billions of dollars annually from merchandising, from games, and all kinds of game licensings and television and all of that. Make them pay for it. So it's just no excuse. It's just no excuse. So, you know, for these people to be trying to mock someone for advocating for those who are less fortunate. But yet on MLK Day, you know, they will be out there celebrating and going to rub some elbows at their little dinner parties and going out on the town and what have you, but they don't care nothing about Dr. King's dream. All they care is about themselves, in my opinion. So definitely want to listen to some of the things that Dr. King was talking about back then. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to start taking two breaks. This is an hour-long program. Take one about 20-minute mark and then one at the 40-minute mark, marking the last 20 minutes of the program. Again, if you have any thoughts, any comments that you would like to share, any points of contention, give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Just hit star 6 and 1. That'll get you in the caller's queue. You can use the web-based flash phone. Also, I forgot to give out the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. So we'll be right back after this short break.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, my name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. All right, let's jump to this first story. Again, I reported on this story last year, a little over a year ago when Eric Harris was killed. He was a black man out there trying to survive, struggling just like millions of other people. Allegedly, he tried to sell a gun, without going through the proper paperwork and all of that, you know, selling guns on the street. So anyway, he got caught up in a police sting. He tried to run from them. They eventually caught up with him, tackled him to the ground. While he was on the ground, handcuffed and had given up, Mr. Robert Bates runs up on him, and we hear a gunshot. And then Mr. Eric Harris was saying, "You shot me. Why did you shoot me?" It was all captured on video and what have you. There was no effort to even apply pressure to Mr. Harris's wounds to stop the bleeding while awaiting paramedics to come. Obviously, Eric Harris died. Robert Bates eventually was convicted, charged with second degree manslaughter, which is a felony that carries about a 4-year maximum sentence. He was convicted. I think last week he was convicted, but there was a bail hearing today. It was either today or yesterday where his attorneys was asking the judge to grant him bail while waiting for his verdict to be on appeal. Of course, you know, he's going to appeal his conviction to the higher court and what have you. And so he didn't want to sit in jail while awaiting that appeal or being moved to prison. They ain't going to keep him in jail. They'll move him to a prison. But complaining about his back and having to sleep on a bed with a metal frame, a solid metal. I've slept on him. I've been in jail. I don't make no secret about that. And then they give you this little thin mattress, and it's just not comfortable. It's definitely not comfortable. And if you have any kind of like back problems and other ailments, man, it's only going to make it worse. I mean, you can't even sleep. It's like, you know, I'm not saying that prisons should be like Holiday Inn or the Ritz or anything like that. But I mean, it is hell in there. on people and what have you. But, you know, certainly if he hadn't shot Eric Harris and killed him, he wouldn't have to be worried about it now, would he? Certainly if he had decided to find another hobby other than going on urban safari in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, home of what's the guy named that raped all those black women? I can't. I mean, there's so many of these crooks and criminals, killers and rapists and what have Daniel Holzclaw. Yeah, the same area, but Mr. Bates was with the sheriff's department. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and listen to this clip of what happened today, and pay attention towards the end of the clip where you hear Mr. Bates' attorney referring to Eric Harris's family attorney calling him a punk. All right, calling him a punk. I was like, man, did he really just go there in the hall like that? I was like, man, he just, yeah, white supremacist. So let me go ahead and cue this up about Robert Bates being denied bail.
We appreciate the verdict today. We do believe that bond should not have been granted. And I think one of the things that we need to keep in focus is that a life was lost. Mr. Eric Harris' life has been lost.
Mr. Bates, now that the trial's over, do you care to say anything?
And I know many people may feel sympathy for Mr. Bates, but at this point in time, a life was lost.
I think for the court to do anything otherwise would have been giving special treatment to Mr. Bates just because he didn't like to sleep on a thin mattress.
My brother's probably having difficulty sleeping in the casket. So I would definitely rather be sleeping on a hard piece of steel than inside of the casket, 6 feet deep, never to return. So, you know, just for all the people out there to know that a hard monk is better than 6 feet in the ground. God bless you.
Y'all feel a lot safer about Bob Bates being in jail. I hope you feel real good about it. That's what I got to say. This punk here is your protector.
Sleep well tonight.
Wow. So you heard the attorney talking to the Harris family attorney, calling him a punk, saying that that's their protector. So he was just being very rude, very derogatory. Obviously, he's very angry. He must be a personal friend of Mr. Bates. Again, Mr. Bates was a multimillionaire. I think he made most of his millions in the insurance business. And so he was retired. He wasn't out there working or nothing like that. And so what he did for fun in his retirement, instead of going to the golf course and, you know, hitting a few balls up and down the golf course and what have you, instead of, you know, going with his grandkids. I don't know if he got any grandkids or anything like that, but, you know, going to Disney World, chilling out in Florida or whatever, man. No, what this dude did is he went on safari in the streets of Tulsa, Oklahoma as a volunteer slave catcher. Yeah, he definitely belongs where he is. Now, he was not sentenced. This was just a hearing, a bail hearing, as his attorney is going to appeal his conviction, which the jury also recommended that he serve the maximum sentence of 4 years for a second degree felony manslaughter. The judge, of course, denied him that bail. And so now he got to sit in jail and wait for a sentencing when he will be sentenced. So he should get the max on the recommendation of the jury. But who knows? He might know this judge. They might, you know, be in the same social circles, as this is usually the case on, you know, when you in these little small towns and counties and stuff like that. You know, you got the power players and what have you. So he may, because he could get as little as probation and a fine. That is the minimum sentence. But the jury has asked for the maximum of 4 years. So we'll definitely keep following this case and update you, our listeners, as to what happens with Mr. Bates' sentencing, you know. So, yeah, the urban safari hunter, his hunting days, I don't know if they're over or not. Who can say, you know. Now, let's move on to the next story. As I was talking about yesterday, that people keep trying to minimize this email scandal. Even Bernie Sanders, which was one of the most politically stupid things he could have done. You know, then when he talks about her being unqualified, you know, you have to throw this email in there with it. Even if, like, arguments are being made that there was no intent to violate the law, that it was recklessness. It was ineptitude. This shows that she is unqualified, okay? That she don't know how to follow rules and regulations, and you know, and when you hamstring yourself and saying we don't want to talk about her emails, well, definitely Donald Trump gonna hammer her on them emails. The Republicans are gonna hammer her on those emails, and this is not some made up stuff, as the Clinton campaign will have you believe, an old grudge or anything like this. This all has to do with her action, her decision to put a private email server in her basement to conduct official U.S. government business, something that has never been done before, all right, to circumvent the government servers. Yes, past secretaries of state have used private email on occasion, but none of them set up a email server. Go look up the difference for the technologically challenged out there. All right, big difference. And if this wasn't serious, as I've even heard some black bourgeoisie say, you know, if they was going to arrest her, they would have been done it. Well, that's not true when you're going after a powerful person like the Clintons, when you're going up against them with all of these friends and you know, influence and what have you, and millions of dollars. So I mean, that just doesn't hold any water. All right, if this wasn't a criminal probe, if they weren't really if there were no laws broken, why would they give Daniel Pagliano, I'm not sure that's his name, but that is the State Department employee she hired on the side, just like she did with Huma, who was interrogated today, hired him on the side. I mean, how you going to be running the State Department and then also hiring State Department employees on the side for your personal stuff? All right, she paid him. So why would the FBI give him immunity if no laws were broken? If he didn't think he broke the law, why would he even, you know, request immunity? Why would his attorneys request immunity? But, you know, y'all can play deaf, dumb, and blind if you want to, but the truth is the truth, and I want this woman to go down. I make no secret about this. All the damage that she has done, primarily to black people in this country, black men, black women, black children, working hand in hand with her husband, working hand in hand with Republicans. Oh, she a good friend with John McCain and other Republicans. One of the things we found out from her private email set up was that the Bushes are some of the people that she was emailing from Clinton.com. The Bushes, the McCain. I came across a picture and published it and talked about how she gave speeches and whatnot at the McCain Institute. We did a whole show on the McCain Institute getting a million dollar donation from the Saudis. And then John McCain, of course, he pro Saudi all the time. And then he tried to lie and say, you know, that he doesn't work at the McCain Institute, the nonprofit, but, you know, he's always there hosting debates, speaking, taking pictures with the, you know, the interns, and all of this is documented. This is who Hillary Clinton rolls with. This is why the Bushes right now won't endorse Trump. All right, the Bushes are for Clinton. They may not publicly come out and say that, but they are. They are. We're talking about criminal crime families. that go back decades, especially when we're talking about the Bushes. One of their ancestors was an enslaver, was a human trafficker. So, you know, we're talking about a crime family. So let me go ahead and cue up that clip and pay attention to the spin that you're going to hear from what I presume to be a Clinton surrogate on CNN on Anderson Cooper, and start paying attention to him. Those who do, you know, watch it from time to time, pay attention to these hosts and how they ask their questions, the inflections that they use in their voices, the structure of their questions. It's like they lead these people to say what they want to say. It's all scripted to a degree anyway, but pay attention to this nonsense that you're going, nonsense excuse that is a straight up lie about what constitutes a crime.
Well, we've learned in recent weeks, Jake, the FBI has been interviewing several people that are in Hillary Clinton's inner circle, including one of her closest confidants, Huma Abedin. These witnesses have been brought in quietly to a room in an FBI building. We're told that the aides, including Abedin, have been cooperating with investigators. Some of these people have been brought in multiple times for interviews. The FBI wants to make sure that no stone is left unturned. We know that the FBI is working in tandem with the Department of Justice and National Security Division, and also it's being assisted by a U.S. Attorney's Office in Alexandria, Virginia. And we expect the FBI to hand over its final findings to DOJ in the coming weeks. The Department of Justice hopes to wrap this up soon, Jake. But of course, the big factor here is interviewing Clinton, and we expect that to come.
So that has not happened yet. Is there actually even a chance that she could be charged with something here?
Well, Jake, so far we were told that the investigators have not found any evidence to prove that she willfully violated the law. Now, clearly, if you talk to people involved in this investigation, they tell you that this should never have happened. This email server should never have been set up. This is not the way to handle classified and certainly sensitive government information. So that is clear. But the problem is the Justice Department and the FBI have a legal standard to meet in order to bring charges, and it doesn't meet that. It doesn't meet the standard to say that she willfully violated the law.
Now, that was just pure nonsense. Could you imagine if you were speeding down the highway? Let's say you're running late for work or whatever your appointment is that you are late for or trying not to be late for. And so, you know, you're on the highway, you're on the interstate. The posted speed limit is 60, but you're doing 75 to 80. And then you happen to pass a state trooper who's sitting on, one of the exit ramps, just clocking people and what have you. And then he catches up to you and he pulls you over, and you say something like, I did not see the change in the speed limit or what have you. I didn't intend to break the law. I didn't intend to speed. I mean, let me make it more use a more realistic analogy. All right, in a 35 mile per hour zone, and you're doing 40, you're doing 40, because this actually happened to me. In Mount Holly, they got a little road that's 50 miles per hour. As you approach town, it then drops down to 35 miles per hour all of a sudden. That's a big drop, okay? Now, the police sometimes, I haven't seen them doing it lately, but they would sit like right behind that speed limit sign about maybe, 25 yards away. So you start, if you see the sign, you're going to brake, and it comes up on you suddenly if you not from the area. And then you're going to might be doing, 45, 40 while in a 35 mile per hour speed limit. That's a speed tramp. Are you going to say, or you think they're going to accept, well, I didn't see the speed limit and I didn't intend to break the law. I didn't see the sign, or the sign came up on me so fast. I was trying to slow down. I was slowing down when I saw the change. It was 50 and then it just dropped to 35. Do you think that cop is going to accept that? Do you think that prosecutor is going to accept your excuse of why you shouldn't pay this ticket or this fine by saying you didn't intend to do it, you weren't from around there, you didn't know, You didn't intend to break the law. That is pure nonsense for that man to sit up there and say that the threshold is in intent. And then to say that, you know, they've told us that they haven't found any evidence. But then you lay out the evidence, the pure setting up the server and mishandling classified documents in itself is a crime. Use logic, people. Don't be snowed by these professional liars. That's why they on TV. Not all of them, because, you know, I know some people that get on there, activists, and I know they have integrity or stuff like that. But when we're talking about surrogates for a known criminal like Hillary Clinton, all these scandals and what have you, man, come on. These people are lying to you. Again, if they found no evidence of a crime, why would the guy she hired to set up the server in her New York basement, why would he get immunity? Because he broke the law as well. That's why he got immunity. So these people are lying to you. And what's a shame is that we have these so-called educated folks talking about, you know, if they, it's nothing to see here. If they was going to arrest her, they would have been done it. You know, it's only been a year. That's not long when you're talking about an investigation of this magnitude at this high of a level with the high stakes. We're talking about top secret stuff. At least 22 emails. We don't even have to go listen to the crap out of Bill Clinton's mouth saying, well, it wasn't classified at the time. She is one of the people who designates stuff as classified. She's the head of the State Department. She took the classes. Everything is sensitive. Everything. If I, you know, going back to my Army days, if I left a note talking about what I needed in from, let's say, the supply sergeant or whatnot, he's gone home from the day and I want him to order some stuff for me because I'm lacking certain equipment for the commo section, the communication section and whatnot. Well, you know, that's sensitive information right there. That's classified. That's sensitive information. Because it's going to be talking about what type of equipment we're using, show any kind of shortcomings that we have in the communication department, may give somebody a hint of how to exploit the systems that we're using. Don't play stupid, people. Don't let them play you for stupid. This woman has committed a crime. Whether or not she gets arrested or charged is besides the point, because we know certain people are above the law, like her friends, the Bushes, that she communicated with over that email server. What did President Obama say coming in the door? We're going to look forward and not backwards. We're not prosecuting anybody for violating U.S. law against torture. We're not going after any of the attorneys that came up with this mumbo-jumbo legalese saying that the president has the authority to crush the testicles of children. I'm not making that up. We're not going after any of the people who, you know, actually kill people during the process of torturing them. No. And he's doing the same thing with Hillary Clinton, and he has more vested interest in this with her. Because he was her supervisor. So I'm telling you, this is serious. I hope that she turns out not to be above the law, because I want her to go down. I want free college tuition at public colleges and universities that are already getting tax dollars, some getting big money from the TV contracts and from their cut of the money from the NCAA, football, basketball, tennis, all of these different sports. Come on now. Don't come at me with how we gonna pay for it. How is President Obama paying for this troop escalation in Iraq, in Syria? How are they paying for that? How is Hillary Clinton going to pay for the boarding schools that she told a New York editorial board she wanted to build for impoverished children? That's her solution to poverty. As we get ready to transition and listen to Dr. King talking about the issue of poverty as we come up on the anniversary, I believe it's next Thursday, of the march, the Poor People's March, led by Mr. Abernathy. I can't remember his second in charge at the time, Dr. King's second in charge, but he had been assassinated. But he had long been speaking out on the issue of income inequality and poverty. And it's, again, many black people want to associate themselves and say they respect Dr. King and all this and that, but they long abandoned his dream to address these issues. Now they tell you that if you want stuff for the most vulnerable people in the population, that's already being paid for anyway with your tax dollars, with your sacrifices in the military, in all sorts of ways. Even the reparations that's owed to black people, you won't talk about, oh, we just want free stuff. And you get behind a woman who once called single mothers lazy, who didn't want to work. Okay? Who helped push a welfare reform bill that shifted billions from public housing to private prisons. Come on, don't talk to me about no damn Dr. King and you a follower of the dream. And you behind such a woman, do where do you think Dr. King would be standing today on that issue? So now I do believe we have to do for self as much as possible, but much is owed to us, and I'm going to keep demanding it. And the only way that we're going to get any relief for those who are, you know, the most vulnerable among us. I don't even care if I never got reparations, because I'm not even sure I'm a descendant of an enslaved African. I mean, many African people married into, you know, the family that bears my name, you know, descendant of a Scottish white European and a Cherokee Indian, all their children married black people, and the African dominant gene took over and what have you. So, you know, unless one of them were enslaved at some time when they married, you know, African descendant people, I don't even think I'm due reparations. I'm not a descendant of enslaved Africans. But that doesn't stop me for advocating for them, for those who it does belong to, who it is owed. And I say get it in any way possible, whether it's in the form of free education for your children, free Medicare for all, especially poor people. Come on now. Much is owed us. And for a black so-called educated person to be talking about, oh, they just want free stuff, that's why they following behind Bernie Sanders. Nobody's following behind Mr. Sanders. What we're doing is seeing the butter biscuits that's on his platform that will help those most vulnerable to us. And it's only through the political system that those people are going to get help, because we don't have the wealth collectively to address these needs. Let's be real about it. Many people were robbed of their so-called wealth, which they put in, you know, people were saying if you own a house, that's like, you know, an asset or whatnot. And then what happened with the market crash? Black people broke, while the billionaires who did it got bailed out and then gave the CEOs who ran the companies in the ground multi-million dollar raises, and all you got was a little old stimulus check. Come on now, talk to me. Stop the nonsense. We're owed free education, we're owed free health care and more. Even if I'm not a descendant of an enslaved African, my ancestors, my African ancestors, and I have experienced racism in this country, victim of their slave codes, which introduced racism and white supremacy. So, you know, it just doesn't seem logical that people would be mocking anyone for demanding anything from these people who have profited off of our backs and our ancestors, not just our ancestors, off of us as human chattel in these prisons. Slavery was never abolished. So, you know, all of that does is just creates a cycle of poverty. So let's go ahead and listen to Dr. King talk about the issue of poverty. Again, next week will be the anniversary of the Poor People's March, which occurred in Washington, D.C. in June of 1968. So if you're offended by black people demanding what's owed, you might want to go ahead and change your radio station right now.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists."
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters.
Well,
it didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, They built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today, many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. And as I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
All right, we're going to stop it there as we get ready to wrap up the program and conclude today's broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. Just a reminder, coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. on this Friday, May the 6th, it will be a live broadcast of Tando Radio Show. The topic is the 96-hour margin call, so make sure you keep it locked in here on Black Talk Radio Network for that program. Then coming up tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. will be Race Treaty Radio. I believe Brother Robin will be hosting Race Treaty tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time live here on Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so, you know, my commentary on that is very clear. You know, what Dr. King was working on prior to the U.S. government, USA Inc., assassinating him. He said, we're coming to Washington to get our check. Okay. He talked about how the government gave land to white peasants, built colleges for them to learn the expertise on how to farm. But yeah, I'm hearing black folks today talking about we just want free stuff when we ask for free, tuition-free public colleges and universities that were built on our backs. This country has not paid the debt that is owed for slavery and racism and white supremacy. So how are you going to come out your mouth and say we're begging or we just want free stuff? It's already paid for. paid for in blood and taxes. So, you know, let's stop the nonsense. We got a lot of poor people in this country. We got a lot of homeless people in this country. Look at how they even treat veterans in this country. So think of, if they treat their veterans like that, just think of how much worse they treat poor black and other non-white people in this country. It's pathetic. Scandalous. So recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc., a nation that proclaimed to the world in 1865 that it abolished slavery. But if you take a look at the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, you will find that they were lying, and that to this very day, they are still engaged in institutional slavery. People are being shot down in the streets by slave catchers. They are being enslaved in jails and prisons and corporations, and state governments and the federal government is profiting from their labor. It's time to bring an end to all of this. There's no reason why, like Dr. King said, we can't eliminate poverty in this country. There's no good logical excuse why we can't practice justice in this country, other than we don't have, obviously, enough people that's going to put their foot down and not be moved and demand justice and practice justice themselves. So, you know, with this current battlefield situation, you need to have situational awareness so that you don't become a victim or a casualty out there on the battlefield. With that said, peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe out there.